This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
Well, good morning, everybody. Our first presenter this morning is Nina Smith. She's the founder of Travel Paws and AACTRS, an accessibility advocate of low vision and blindness. So I'd like to welcome to the stage Nina for her contribution, and her topic this morning is stop taxi and rideshare refusals. Now, may I just remind everyone, this is supposed to be a very positive outlook, so anyone with any questions, try and keep it in the positive mode, not the negative.
And I'm also an assistance dog handler. This is my guide dog, Nixon. He's my second assistance dog. My first was seeing our dog, Walter. I started Travel Paws about 5 years ago to try and eliminate the barriers to travel. Having travelled with Nixon for the first time overseas to Japan, and I found getting access to information an absolute nightmare. And so I started Travel Paws then. It's now a website and a Facebook page and Instagram page where handlers can help each other across the globe travel more successfully. But over the last 5 years, it's become very obvious to me that eliminating barriers is not just about overseas travel. It's one of the most significant barriers for us handlers is accessing taxi and rideshare vehicles. So hence my interest in this area. I am here to talk about a new initiative, which is a new committee established of five key organisations to try and address this issue. But before I start, I would like to ask for your participation, if that's okay, to answer a couple of questions that I have. If you could raise your hand and say yes, if you're sick of being refused in a taxi or rideshare vehicle. Yes. Yay. If you could raise your hand and say yes, if you feel that it's probably highly likely that the next time you call a taxi or rideshare, that you will be refused. Yes. Hands up and say yes if you think that you may not make the next appointment that you're going to or come home at all on time if you ring a taxi or rideshare vehicle. Yes. Hands up if you're sick of being verbally mistreated by taxi or rideshare companies. Yes. Hands up if you're sick of proving it and being told that you're responsible for providing data in order for anything to be done about it. Yes. Hands up if you're sick of complaining or find complaining just all too hard. That's right. Hands up who's sick of not seeing anything done about it. Yeah, if you could just hold the comments and questions to the end, that would be terrific. Thanks, Nicole, even though what comes out of your mouth makes me laugh a lot. hands up who is sick of hearing the excuses. Yes. So the excuses that we're all aware of are things like allergies, dog hair. Look, I'm fine, but this is actually my boss's car and he doesn't want dog hair in there. I'm scared of dogs, yeah, because of my religious beliefs, unfortunately, I can't have you. And the latest I've heard, which is, unfortunately, I can't take your dog because if there's an accident, I am liable for his safety. So, about this week in Hervey Bay, I had an Uber driver, female Uber driver, who very much wanted to refuse us because she expressed concern that Nixon had bad hygiene. And I did discuss with her that he was very concerned about her hygiene. So that seemed to eliminate the issue. Then about 2 days ago, I ordered a 1-3 cab. So over this weekend, we've heard a lot about Uber being the guilty party, but it's not just Uber. We all know it's not just Uber. So 1-3 cabs, I called a cab. The app showed the taxi approaching. It was here, it was going to arrive about a minute later, and then mysteriously it disappeared. Went 40 minutes the other way and just sat stationary, ended the ride and asked me to rate it, and I hadn't even got in the cab yet. So I did ring and complain and was hung up on twice, but while I was waiting, that lovely jingle came on of anytime, anywhere, 1-3 cabs will get you there. And I thought, that's an interesting jingle. I could suggest some others. But anyway, so for us, basically, the industry is a mess. And when we talk about this to government, they say it must be very frustrating for handlers. And I say, frustrating? It's not frustrating, it's devastating. When they say things like it must be a great inconvenience to handlers, I say, no, it's not an inconvenience, it's unacceptable. And it's not just happening here, it's happening all over the globe. The other day I attended an online Uber forum in America, and the handlers there were as frustrated as we are, and the tactics that they roll out to try and resolve it were very similar sounding tactics. It didn't leave me with a lot of confidence. So surely we're thinking that taxi and rideshare companies and the regulator and the Department of Transport and Planning know how vital having an assistance dog or dog guide is to our lives. We're asking them just to do their job. And on reflection, for us, it's like an essential service having taxi and rideshare rides. And it's in that way, it's like a doctor or a nurse in a hospital picking and choosing the patients that they will operate on. So I'm here today to talk to you about a new committee that's been established to try and resolve this issue, and a little bit about the work that we've done and are doing to fix this issue. The committee is called the Assistance Dogs Advisory Committee for Taxi and Rideshare Services, and for short, ACTRS. ACTRS is made up of five key organisations: Guide Dogs Australia, represented by Jeremy Anderson, who is the National Policy and Government Relations Advisor. Secondly, Assistance Dogs Australia, represented by Sarah Emery, the Chief Operating Officer. Thirdly, Blind Citizens Australia, represented by Jackson Reynolds Ryan, who's a team leader of policy and advocacy. Fourthly, Annette Ferguson, representing Dog Guide Handlers Australia, your president. And finally, myself, Nina Smith, representing Travel Paws as the founder and director. What has brought us all together, the five key organisations, are four key things. Firstly, we know, or we believe strongly, that as a group, we are stronger as one voice to resolve this issue for us handlers. Secondly, we are not the only people facing refusals. It's all dog handlers. So hence the inclusion of Assistance Dogs Australia, because people with PTSD, physical disabilities and autism, etc., face refusals as well. Thirdly, the committee is here for the long haul, whatever it takes. Fourthly, the actors is invested, every organisation on actors is totally invested and determined to fix this issue for the betterment of handlers. I was speaking to Jeremy Anderson from Guide Dogs Australia the other day, and I quote, "Every board member and every chief executive at Guide Dogs is committed and invested in actors and overcoming this taxi and rideshare refusal for handlers." So now I'd like to share a little bit about the work we've done and the work that we're going to do moving forward. We've been focusing our efforts to date on the Human Rights Commission, and it's very different to, and I recognise, and I'd like to acknowledge the frustration of some handlers going through independent complaints processes with human rights. We've been operating at the highest level of the Human Rights Commission at an organisational level. So the heads of law, policy, strategy and the commissioners. We have recognition and acknowledgement from each of the federal, the former federal, and the Victorian Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission that our complaints are a mere tip of the iceberg of the refusal issue, and it's an issue in every state and every territory in Australia. Through the work and guidance of the Human Rights Commission, there has been an establishment for the first time in Australia of a taxi and rideshare intergovernmental working group consisting of the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission, Safe Transport Victoria, who is the regulator, and the Department of Transport and Planning. And just to clarify, the regulator is the one that sets the standards and enforces the regulations for taxi and rideshare companies. So we have recognition that because the industry, we talked yesterday, Uber dodging their responsibility, somebody needs to be accountable for not having a public transport system that is equitable and inclusive. So we have secured a co-design opportunity with this intergovernmental working group, and as actors, we will be working on a number of key issues to move to establish a culture change. So what I mean by that is a culture of it's okay to refuse an assistance dog handler, shifting it to a culture of it's actually law to take an assistance dog and their handler, and there are consequences if you don't. ACTRS is a national committee. Because, frustratingly, transport is operated state by state, we will be moving state by state. So this will take, to be transparent, this will take time. On this working group, it is our intention to, and we have only met four times, so I want to stress it's early days, we are going to commit to a number of measures. In our toolkit, I guess we have a number of measures that we can look at. So co-designing, obviously, with the Intergovernmental Working Group, working independently with the Equal Opportunity Commissioners and Commissions, a targeted media campaign, law reform, and PIAC was talking yesterday about the disability transport standards, and we have, as actors, put in a joint submission of recommendations of change to those. And maybe looking at some high-profile legal litigation options as well. But I guess the key thing, strategy for us, is that for the first time, there are five key organisations pushing for results, pushing out hard for results, and I don't think we can underestimate what we can achieve with that. We're all in this together, including those of us all sitting in this room. There are two things I want to take you to take away from this presentation. One, ACTRS is a unified voice, and we're in it for the long haul. Two, we have zero tolerance for refusals, and we're asking taxi and rideshare drivers just to do their job. Thank you.
10 minutes to go.
Is that?
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, got 10 minutes.
Are there any questions?
Hi there, it's Claudia Stevenson. I just want to just quickly laugh at the your zero tolerance approach, because I just I noticed that that's also Uber's has a zero tolerance approach, and you know, hopefully you really do have a zero tolerance approach. But my second query is, there's quite a few states that aren't represented. You know, I didn't hear anyone from WA. What organisations were approached, and is there still room for them to get on board? Because you know, it would be really great if WA, South Australia, Tassie, yeah, better representation by Queensland. Yep.
Thanks, Claudia. I don't know what direction I'm looking in, but basically we will be looking at rolling out state by state and what we need to do state by state, and maybe who we need to collaborate with state by state. So that's something that ACTRS will be discussing as we move.
Hi, Nina, it's Nicole. And so I guess a slightly broader question that I have for you, because I mean, obviously there's just flat out refusals, all right, and yeah, I, along with everybody else in this room, is probably sick of that, but I'm also sick of something else, and that is, like, so I had a cab just drive off on me the other day, right, totally, but then the second person, he's like, oh, I'm not taking the dog, and I jumped in his cab, and dog in turn said, oh, yes, you are, it's the law. So what I then got was the hostile silent treatment, and then I got the, well, I'm going to drop you at the wrong address as punishment. Okay, so this is passive aggressive kind of, and then with Uber, you've got the possibility that they will try at their end to downgrade your star rating. So it's not an outright refusal, right? But it's also a, I'm going to punish you. Yep. I'm going to make this as unpleasant and as hostile and as uncomfortable for you as I possibly can.
Yep.
So how do we try and get it through to these rideshare companies that we don't tolerate outside our refusal, but we also don't tolerate you treating us like scum of the earth or like dropping a blind person at the wrong place. Like that's really dangerous.
Yeah. Thank you, Nicole. I think all I can say is ACTRS is very well aware of that issue, and that will be one of the things we address. So thank you for bringing that up.
Hi, Nina. This is just Mary. I wanted to thank you first for speaking on this because it is such an important topic, and I know we talk about it and it doesn't seem to get anywhere, but if we stop talking about it, it definitely will get nowhere. So thanks for bringing it up. One of the things, I'm a service provider and I notice a lot of I'm also from the US, and I notice a lot of fake service dogs sort of ruining it for the industry. And I wanted to just maybe make a suggestion that some focal point of the direction of where you're going does look at allowing the rights of the, I know this is going to make people angry, but letting the taxi rideshare places, educating them on what their rights are too, because we do have this unbalance of fake service dogs in the industry that are completely out of control, and they are sort of ruining it for some of us. I see them in my local shopping center now, out of control, and I've been trying to help my center management to understand what their rights are so that, one, we can get those animals out of there, and we don't show that this is what assistance animals are like. And so that might be a good focal point, too,
thanks,
for those companies.
Okay, thanks, Mary. Fake assistance dogs is definitely something we're very aware of and is something that is an issue for the public. It's an issue for goods and service providers, and it's an issue for handlers, and it needs to be addressed.
Hi, Nina, Jeanette with Hayley. Two things. One, I was actually asked to pay a cleaning fee from a taxi driver. He was trying to gouge me, and I turned around and said no. And he tried to do it again, and I pulled my phone out and said, I'm calling the police when we get to my drop-off point. And he said, oh, no, it's all right, it's all right. He was Greek. But the second thing is, because I live in Albury, which is right on the border of Victoria and New South Wales, 13 Cabs have an office there. And I had an issue with the driver who was just a plain pain in the backside because he said that Hayley was going to bite him because her mouth was open. Human Rights got involved with this, and now any driver who refuses to pick up a handler and their dog gets into a lot of trouble with the president of that area, who owns the because 1-300-13-CABS in each town have an office. So if you actually go into the office and say, I need to speak to your board members, and yeah, I know it, Human Rights and I, we had this discussion with the board, and it turns out that the board was on board with what I was saying, and they now pick me up, and if they don't, they get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because I am vocal, and the office manager, Jeanette. And I, we're on first name terms now.
Okay. Thanks, Jeanette. Thank you.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Nina, for your kind words today. Here's a small token of our esteem.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can everyone just give Nina a round of applause?
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?